Keep yourself in the loop of everything football on the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast. The latest news on and off the field, be it college football, Big Ten, SEC, Big 12, Pac-12, ACC to the NFL. We've got you covered. Listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast.
All right, and welcome to the GSMC Football Podcast. This episode is brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. And as always, I am your host, Jesse Tapia. All right, yesterday we talked about players who are holding out. Today we will be talking about players who have thrown footballs for the first time in a year and a half. All right. Meaning Andrew Luck. We will be talking about him for the first segment. All right. And you know what? I'll save my thoughts on Andrew Luck once I get going with this first segment. But nonetheless, let me tell you what else we got going on. Okay. We got Josh Gordon saying that the Browns have the best wide receiver corps in the league. I'm inclined to believe him, actually. Okay. Before you say, oh, what are you talking about? It's the Browns. Actually look around the league and see who's got a more complete wide receiver corps in the Browns. Okay. We'll get to that in the second segment. We got Lamar Jackson lining up on different sides of the field in the same formation as Joe Flacco. Maybe we could see some Joe Flacco to Lamar Jackson touchdown passes possibly. I would not want to see that. Okay. I want to see Lamar Jackson being the one throwing the touchdown passes, but nonetheless, Ravens are getting creative. Might as well find a way for Lamar Jackson to get on the field given his athletic ability until he takes over for Joe Flacco next season, right? Right. So we'll be talking about that. And then for the fourth segment, we'll be talking about anything else going on in the world of football. All right. So that's how today's show is going to go. All right. Yesterday's was pretty fun. I think today's might be even funner. Okay. So let's get into it. Andrew Luck. Almost, Andrew Luck is kind of like a legend now in the way where, not like a legend in the NFL, but like a legend, the story kind, where we hear things of greatness back then. We never saw it, but nonetheless, it's a story that's been passed down generations. And I think that might be Andrew Luck. Of course, last time he played was what, back in 2016? Okay. Last time he played meaningful football was back in 2015. All right. And it kind of just feels like, you know what? I forgot about Andrew Luck, what he's done and all. All right, Andrew Luck, as good as he's been, has seemingly just disappeared because of his injury. Okay? Like I said, it feels like that game against the Patriots, the Deflategate game, feels like it was ages ago, honestly. All right? But nonetheless, looking like good old Andrew is back. Threw a football today, you guys. Andrew Luck threw a football. Oh, wow. Media's having a field day with that. Okay. I understand that. I guess it's a big deal. Maybe. I mean, the guy hasn't thrown a football since 2016. So yeah, I'd say it's a big deal since it's been about a year and a half. Okay. But fact of the matter is that I think that it is a tiny bit concerning that we're having such a media circus over Andrew Luck throwing a football. Okay. And obviously, like, I don't know, like, I'm kind of torn here because I've been Andrew Luck defender saying that he'd be fine when he came back if he was 100% and all. But there's a point where we're making a really big deal about a guy throwing a football and doing his job. Okay, I completely get it. It's been about a year and a half since he's been able to, but there's a point where it's a little bit weird, isn't it? All right, and I mean, the Colts, their season pretty much just hinges on the fact of, Is Andrew Luck going to be healthy or not? On the question, I should say. All right, because this Colts team, we'll go through it right now. They stink. The Colts are terrible. Okay, I'm not sure really why they refuse to make good decisions as far as building a team, but they've been doing that since they drafted Peyton Manning. Okay, meaning that they never really put a truly great team around Manning. And Luck has never really played with anything great. I mean, just look at it. Look at the running backs. Okay, Josh Ferguson, Nyheim Hines, Marlon Mack, Christine Michael, Robert Turbin, Jordan Wilkins. The only notable names there are Christine Michael, Robert Turbin, and Marlon Mack. And I'll tell you why. Marlon Mack played about maybe a few games last season, looked good. All right, so you probably picked him up off the waiver wire, threw him on your bench, but never really put him into the starting lineup because other than that, he only played really great for three games. Christine Michael is the ultimate, I'm going to stash this guy on my bench, my fantasy team, just in case he finally gets a starting job. Yeah, we're still waiting for Christine Michael to get that starting job. Like, it's kind of crazy. He's been in the league for 6 years, okay? Christine Michael has literally, like, you've just been waiting. Oh, this is his year. This is his year. Been doing that for 6 years, okay? If he couldn't start in Seattle, what makes you think he'll start anywhere else? I'm not sure. And then Robert Turbin, who I think, isn't that another Seattle Seahawks running back? Former running back? All right, let's check Robert Turbin. Robert Turbin, I don't know, didn't he have like a decent few games? Or am I completely just missing? Let's see, Robert Turbin. So yeah, played for Seattle, 2012. All right, the most yards he's had in a year is 354, his rookie year. So, I don't know, 2016, he actually had a decent year. He ran for 164 yards, but had 7 touchdowns. Decent little receiving. He's okay. So, yeah, obviously the Colts running back situation isn't great. You know, they could have took a guy like Saquon Barkley, but why give Andrew Luck that kind of help? And I got to give it to him. They did take Quentin Nelson, so there's that. All right. Looking at their wide receivers. T.Y. Hilton, yeah, solid number one receiver. After that, Ryan Grant. That's not even the like notable Ryan Grant. That used to be the old Packers running back. This Ryan Grant was a wide receiver for the Redskins. Let's see. Let's look at Ryan Grant's stats over his career. All right. Let's see. At least when I search him up on Google, it comes up as the wide receiver rather than the other one. So that means that's kind of a plus there. Came into the league in 2004. Played 16 games, started 2 of them, 7 receptions, 68 yards for his rookie year. Total. Okay. 2015, played 16 games, starts 5 of them, 23 receptions, 268 yards, 2 touchdowns total. 2016, starts 1 game out of 16, 9 receptions, 76 yards. Yeah, for the season. Okay. And then 2017, he starts 7 games out of 16, catches 45 passes, 573 yards, 4 touchdowns. Is that really supposed to be their number two, or are they going to go with like a guy like Chester Rogers, maybe? They took Deion Kane late in the draft. Yeah, it's not great for that team there. All right. And even looking at Ryan Grant's stats, okay, obviously he didn't play much. But I mean, 2014, puts up 7 receptions, 68 yards. That's not even good enough like for a game. Okay. 2016, 9 receptions, 76 yards, no touchdowns. Like I said, this guy doesn't even have his season numbers aren't even good enough for a game if you were to put them all together. All right. Isn't that a little concerning? That the Colts just have T.Y. Hilton there? And they're pretty much hoping for Ryan Grant to do something that he never did with Washington, which was become an every day or every game type of receiver where you're starting every game? Really? Really, Indianapolis? Come on now. All right. So there's that. Tight end, they got Jack Doyle, who I think is going to have a breakout season. Offensive line's a little bit better. Okay. Looking at the defense, not too many notable names here. I guess maybe Pierre Desir. All right. Let's see, who else? Malik Hooker? Yeah, Jabal Sheard? Yeah, the Colts really need Andrew Luck to come back this season and be 100% playing like the old Andrew Luck, because if not, they're not going to win a game this season. this team is really bad. Like extremely bad. Like, let's say Andrew Luck doesn't play this season, they might not win a game. I'd say that this team, on paper, is worse than last year's Browns team, minus Andrew Luck. All right? They're that bad. But, of course, you got Jim Irsay now saying that Luck will be at training camp with no limitations. Do I really want to believe that? Okay. I mean, you got Andrew Luck saying he'll absolutely be playing week one against the Bengals, so maybe he is back. Okay, maybe he is. Fact of the matter is, though, the guy hasn't thrown a football in a year and a half. You expect him to come out, lighten the league up? Week one? I'm not sure, okay? We've had Tate on the show a few times before. I was talking with him before I started recording, and we were talking fantasy football and Andrew Luck. I asked him if it's a bit concerning that Luck, like, so much is being made about him throwing a football. Talked about that, and then we talked about fantasy football, okay? Are you taking Andrew Luck to be your starting quarterback, given that the guy hasn't played in about 2 years, year and a half? I don't think so. Okay, would you take Alex Smith? Yeah. All right. Especially when the stakes are high in your fantasy league. Not talking about your little fantasy league amongst friends and all that. I'm talking about like the high stakes ones. Okay? You taking Alex Smith, you taking Andrew Luck. You taking Smith. Okay? So it's going to be very interesting to see exactly how well Luck plays when he's back. Okay? And pretty much, I don't know. I've always been an Andrew Luck defender as far as him coming back, but it's just, I don't know, we're talking a whole lot about a guy throwing a football. Maybe it's just one where, because he was a top five quarterback when he was out there, and we've been without him for so long. All right. So we'll see what ends up going down, but nonetheless, we're going to wrap it up here. Next up, we're going to be talking about, we'll do Josh Gordon next in his comments. So stay tuned, and I will be right back.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
All right, and welcome back to the GSMC Football Podcast. We spent that first segment talking about the fact that Andrew Luck finally threw a football, you guys. Uh-oh, he's back. But no, seriously, Joe Mercer says he should be back or at training camp with no limitations. Luck says he'll absolutely be playing week one, so I mean, I guess now we got to see which Andrew Luck we're going to be getting. Okay, we've only seen one, so I guess it's either we're going to see the good one or we're going to see a new one that we haven't seen before. You know, he could be very bad. All right. I mean, there's not too many quarterbacks who have come back the same after season ending or after bad shoulder injuries. I think Drew Brees is probably the only one. He came back better. Okay. Yeah, he came back better. I don't know. Maybe he's a cyborg, that Drew Brees there. All right. But nonetheless, we talked about Andrew Luck for the first segment. Now, let's talk about Josh Gordon, okay? Josh Gordon is going to be playing his first full season since, 2013? Yeah, so since not even a full season. He only played 14 games that year. So he's never played 2012 is rookie year. He played 16 games, only started 13 of them. He's going to be the first year where he starts all 16 games, barring injury. Okay. And looks like he's got his head on straight. Seems that he's back. Okay, and when Josh Gordon's out there, he's one of the best receivers in the league. That's not really up for debate. Okay. And I mean, the guy in 2013, didn't he have like back-to-back 200-yard games? Yeah, he did. Okay. 237 yards. Week 9. 261 yards week 10. Off of 14 and 10 receptions. He got more yards week 10 on less receptions. It's a bit ridiculous, isn't it? Too bad they lost to both of them, too. Let's see. He had 146 yards week 1. 126 week 4. 132 week 6. 125 week 8. And then he goes for back-to-back 200 yards. 151 week 11. That was quite the run right there. All right. But nonetheless, he's back, like I said, when he's healthy. Or when he's got his head on straight, he's one of the best receivers in the league. All right, and like I said, it's not up for debate. All right. So now he's back, minicamp and all, playing well, getting ready for the season. And he says that the Browns have the best wide receiver corps in the league. You might think, oh, this guy's crazy. It's the Browns. Oh, what's he thinking? No, he's actually right. Okay, he actually is. Think about it before you start yelling at me. All right. You got Josh Gordon, who, like I said, is a top five receiver when he's got his head on straight. All right. And it seems like now he's got his head on straight. He's already an old pro. All right. You got him there. And you got Corey Coleman, who's going to be on the other side of him as the wide receiver number two. Corey Coleman does well in that role, I feel. Okay, last couple of years he's had to be the number one guy on the team, but I feel like now as a number two, we're going to see him do well. Okay, so I like Corey Coleman there. And then you got the best slot receiver in the league in Jarvis Landry, who I think, slot receiver or not, doesn't matter, is already a top 10 overall receiver. Okay, and is that right, or am I just overrating Landry a bit? Let's go through it. He's better than anyone on the Cowboys. I'll take OBJ over him. Okay, I'll take him. I'll take Landry over Alshon Jeffrey. As far as the Redskins, I'll take him over anyone there. Bears, I like him better than Robinson. Do I? I think I do. All right. I'll take him over the Detroit receivers. I'll take him over Devontae Adams. I don't think so. So I'll take Adams over him. I'll take Thielen. All right, NFC South, Julio, Mike Thomas, Mike Evans. That's already six. Maybe he's not top 10. Larry Fitz. Let's see. Head over to the AFC East. No one on his former team is better than him. So I'll take him over anyone in the AFC East. Let's see, AFC North, AB, Josh Gordon. All right, so that's nine. AJ Green, so that's 10. Oof. Maybe he's borderline 10 then. Hopkins, that's 11. Let's see. AFC West. I'll take him over Tyreek Hill, I think. No, I don't know. That's a tough one. I'll take him over Demaryius Thomas. I'll take him over Amari Cooper. Yeah, because Amari Cooper can't catch the ball. So he's about borderline top 10. All right, he's about 11, 12, maybe 10. If you want to keep him there. All right. But nonetheless, he is the best slot receiver in the league. So let's say that the Browns have two top 15 receivers and then a very formidable number two receiver. Why wouldn't that be one of the best wide receiver corps in the league? Okay. Look around. Dallas wide receiver corps is about as good as my high school football teams or my former high school football teams. Okay. Let's see. New York, no. Philly, no. Washington, no. Chicago, no. Detroit comes close, but I don't think they're better. Green Bay, nah. And I'm talking just straight receivers here, not including the tight end. All right, Minnesota, Diggs and Thielen are good. I will take Gordon, Landry, and Coleman over them. All right, as far as a unit. South, Julio is obviously better than all of them, but you got a rookie in Calvin Ridley where, I mean, we got to wait and see how he is. Carolina hasn't really had great receivers since Steve Smith. New Orleans, they got Mike T, but that's it. Tampa Bay's got DeSean Jackson and Mike Evans, but they looked brutal last year. Cardinals, no. Rams, no. 49ers, definitely not. Seattle, no. Buffalo, I mean, Corey Coleman would be the best receiver on that team. Miami, they got solid receivers, but not the firepower that the Browns have. New England, no. New York, no. Baltimore, not. Cincinnati, no. Pittsburgh, might be. I think Pittsburgh and Browns got the top two receiving corps.
Okay. I really think they do.
With Pittsburgh, you got Juju Smith-Schuster and Antonio Brown. That's pretty solid. All right. Definitely. So I'll say that arguably, I'd take, I don't know. It's between them for one and two, I think. Let's see, who else? Washington or Houston's, you got DeAndre Hopkins. Will Fuller is more of a one-trick pony, meaning he could just run the deep route and that's it. So I'd take the Browns over them. Definitely over Indianapolis. Definitely over Jacksonville. Definitely over Tennessee. Definitely over Denver. Over Kansas City, yeah. Over LA, the Chargers, yeah. Over the Raiders, yes. I'd say the Browns got a top two wide receiver corps. All right. I'd say maybe arguably number one. Depends if either you want Pittsburgh or Cleveland. All right. But nonetheless, Josh Gordon, yeah, that wasn't a hot take. He was actually speaking some truth there. Okay. Like I said, people are going, oh, it's the Browns. What do you mean? Yeah, we got to stop that. Okay. The Browns have a pretty decent team on paper. Gordon said these are probably the best quarterbacks they've had in Cleveland since he's been there. Yeah. That's a fact. That's a stone cold hard fact right there. Okay. I mean, Gordon's played with Jason Campbell, Brandon Whedon, okay, and then he got suspended. Then we saw guys like Kevin Hogan, Cody Kessler, Johnny Manziel. DeShone Kizer, I think, got a raw deal in Cleveland because he shouldn't have started week one. He should have been a guy who developed for a couple years, then came in. Obviously, that didn't happen. All right. So, yeah, I'd say that Tyrod Taylor, Baker Mayfield. I didn't even say Baker Mayfield played a game. And I'd already say he's better than whatever Cleveland has brought in. All right. So, yeah, Josh Gordon, not wrong. Okay. And, I mean, if you look at it, the Browns have a decent team, a pretty good team. All right. I would not be surprised if they made the playoffs this season. Okay. I'm not going to go out and say they'd win the division because that's absolutely, without a doubt, not happening. All right, but they could be a wild card team. I mean, the only teams fighting for a wild card this season probably going to be whoever doesn't win the AFC South. So either probably the Texans and Titans, then Denver possibly, Miami possibly. If Patrick Mahomes is good, then Kansas City possibly. So there's not too much, how do you say? There's not too much they got to fight against, all right? So I think the Browns do have a decent shot. It's not like the NFC where anyone can make the playoffs there. So we'll see what ends up happening with the Browns this season. Very excited to see Josh Gordon play this season. Like I said, when he's got his head on straight playing, he's a top five receiver in the league. That's not up for debate either, okay? Your opinion does not matter on that matter. Okay, Josh Gordon, without a doubt, top five when he's healthy. All right. So let's see. Yeah, that's pretty much all I got to say about the Browns there. I think that this season, I mean, let me look at their schedule. We've already picked their games, all right? But, of course, things change. Let's see. They got the Steelers twice, the Saints. I mean, the NFC South is going to be a difficult division to play against. You got the Chargers. Let's see. The Texans. So they got a lot of tough games here, but nonetheless, I mean, if they got a good team, they should be fine, right? I mean, that's pretty much how it usually goes. And also, I mean, you look at their running backs. You got Duke Johnson, who they extended. Carlos Hyde, when healthy, is a very good running back. And then Nick Chubb, who is a very good running back over at Georgia. So, I like what the Browns got going on there. So, we'll see what ends up going down. But nonetheless, we're going to wrap it up here. Next up, we're going to be talking about the Baltimore Ravens. So, stay tuned, and I will be right back.
check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
All right, and welcome back to the GSMC Football Podcast. We spent these first two segments talking about Andrew Luck and the Cleveland Browns, more so Josh Gordon, his comments. Good comments, not bad comments. All right, but nonetheless, we talked about that. Now we're going to head over to Baltimore. All right, the Fighting Joe Flacco's out there. I mean, that's not necessarily a good nickname either, just given the fact that Joe Flacco's a terrible quarterback, but nonetheless, I mean, you got John Harbaugh getting kind of creative here, okay? Obviously, they took Lamar Jackson, I'm assuming, to take over Joe Flacco once he's done, okay? Which is going to be after this year. All right, I believe after this year, the Ravens don't have to play Joe Flacco anymore, guaranteed money, so that's a plus there. Congrats. All right, maybe we can throw a party for the Ravens or whatnot. And, I mean, I guess Joe Flacco hasn't really been looking good so far in minicamp and whatnot, but, of course, I mean, it's just football guys throwing passes in short, so I can't really look too much into it, right? But nonetheless, I mean, like I said, Joe Flacco, he's got a Super Bowl win. So does Trent Dilfer. All right, let's see. What other quarterbacks that weren't that good have Super Bowl wins? Peyton Manning with the Denver Broncos. All right, that last Super Bowl that he won when he retired. Peyton Manning was hot garbage that year. Like, hot garbage. Like, terrible. Like, it was like ridiculous how bad Peyton Manning was that year. Okay. I mean, the guy couldn't even throw a football. Right. And let's look at Peyton Manning's stats that last year. There's no way they could be good either. All right. Let's see. And he's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. But 2015 year, he only played 10 games, started 9 of them. All right. They went 7-2 in those 9 starts. But let's not lie to ourselves. That's because the defense threw for 2,200 yards. Look at it. 9 touchdowns. This is my favorite one here. 17 picks. Okay. Like, Manning was all-time bad that last year. And I'm not going to fall for the whole, yeah, we're going to act like Peyton Manning won that Super Bowl for them in 2015. No. Okay. Let's look at it. This is playoff stats. 3 games. Obviously, 3 wins. 539 yards. 2 touchdowns. Let me see if I can find the game logs of his postseason that year. All right. Let's see. We're going to find it here. I got to go somewhere else for it. Playoffs. So he played Pittsburgh week 1. He threw 37 passes, which is ridiculous. 222 yards, no touchdowns, no picks. That defense must have been so good. All right. Well, yeah, there's an all-time great defense there. So let's see. Game 2, they play the Patriots. They win that one 20-18. Manning throws for a whopping 176 yards. They throw for 2 touchdowns. All right. And then the Super Bowl. It was bad. They win that 24-10. Okay. Listen to this. 13-23. 141 yards. 1 interception. Okay. Does that sound good to you? No, it does not. Let's look at Trent Dilfer's stats. That postseason run that the Ravens had. And that was like the same thing with Peyton Manning 2015 with Dilfer back in 2000. Is that Dilfer was playing an all-time behind an all-time great defense. Okay. Let's see. Let me see real quick. It's game logs for the postseason. Are you serious? He went 9-14 in the game. The guy threw 25 passes. That was his most of the postseason. 130 yards his first game. Throw a touchdown. Second postseason matchup against Tennessee. Throws for, let's see, 16 attempts, 117 yards. Then against Baltimore, or against Oakland, excuse me, 9 completions, 18 attempts, 190 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. Then in the Super Bowl where they win, 12 completions, 25 yards, 153 yards, 1 touchdown. That is brutal. All right. And let me look at Flacco's before we get into the whole Lamar Jackson playing different positions. All right. Let's see. Did Joe Flacco have a solid postseason run? Back in, what was it? When they won the Super Bowl? 2012? I think it was 2012. Let's see. We'll go to game logs. And I mean, that was brutal, Trent Dilfer. Like, that was all-time bad right there. So let's see. Yeah, that was the year they won the Super Bowl. Flacco was all right. I mean, he wasn't great. Against Indy in his first game, throws for 282 yards, 2 touchdowns. Then against Denver, 331 yards, 3 touchdowns. I think that was the game where, wasn't that the game where Denver gave up like a last-minute bomb of a touchdown? Last second or something like that in overtime, I think it was something like that. I think so. He throws for 331 yards, 3 touchdowns there, 240 yards against New England in the conference championship game, 3 touchdowns, and then Super Bowl throws for 287 yards, 3 touchdowns there. So Flacco wasn't that bad, not as bad as Manning and Dilfer or whatnot. But I mean, as far as the Ravens working Lamar Jackson at other positions with Flacco playing quarterback, I mean, why not? Okay. I'm sure that their plan is for Lamar to be their starting quarterback next season. But it's just more so you're trying stuff out, seeing what works, seeing if you could find some different fits or whatnot. I mean, this could just be a trap where they're like, oh yeah, Lamar, you're just going to be a wide receiver for us forever. But, I mean, I don't have any problem with them trying to work him into different positions as far as different formations and stuff. I mean, we've seen the Wildcat and all that. Miami was the best to run it. After that, it was just kind of teams tried copying it. It never really worked. All right, but I mean, it could work with Lamar Jackson. Alright, and I can't see them having them run routes and all that. I just, if you took Lamar to be your starting quarterback for the future, there's no way that you throw him out there with the against defenses playing receiver. Alright, the only way that he is out there is if Flacco was going to pitch the ball to him and Lamar's going to throw it deep or whatnot. Kind of plays like that. Alright, there's no way you have Lamar running routes and trying to catch passes against cornerbacks and safeties. I mean, imagine you got Lamar Jackson playing against, let's see, who's a good safety in the league right now? Pittsburgh, I mean, it's sad I can't use Troy Polamalu anymore. Let's say whatever, big bad safety. You got Lamar Jackson running down the middle of the field. All right, he catches and then he gets lit up. You think that's going to fly? No, there's no way that Lamar Jackson is going to be playing receiver or anything like that for the Ravens. I don't see it. All right. And as far as Joe Flacco goes, I mean, I'm curious. Let's say that like Flacco tears it up this season somehow, some way. They make the playoffs. You keep Flacco around still? I think you do. I don't think another year of development would hurt Lamar Jackson. All right. Nonetheless, I mean, I'm excited to see what the Ravens do with Lamar Jackson, meaning not this year, but more so in years to come, because we're not going to see too much of him this season, I feel. Unless, yeah, we're not going to see too much of him, because if Flacco just stinks it up and gets benched, you're going to see RG3 coming in. Alright. But nonetheless, I mean, this does give John Harbaugh another year. Okay. To keep his job. Meaning, I always go back to the Ravens owner talking about how it did cross his mind as far as whether or not he should fire Harbaugh since they did make the playoffs again. If that's crossing your mind, and let's say that they don't draft Jackson and don't make the playoffs again with Flacco, then Harbaugh was about as good as gone. Then you'll see coaches do this too, where you've already got your established quarterback, or he's been your established quarterback, but more so it's starting to go down a bit. You're going to go draft a quarterback just to show, you know what, give me time with this guy and we'll do better. All right. So I think that's all what it all was there. And I think Lamar Jackson, I mean, he is one of the biggest playmakers in this draft, or was one of the biggest playmakers in this draft. All right, he could arguably be one of the best quarterbacks in this draft. It's just people see quarterbacks who run and instantly think, oh yeah, he's the running quarterback, that's it. Like, Lamar Jackson ran a pro-style offense at Louisville. It's not like the dude was running the read option every play. Okay? Does he have some accuracy issues? Yeah, sure. So does Josh Allen. But that still let him go seventh. Okay? Josh Allen had accuracy issues playing in the Mountain West. Okay? And that's one thing I don't like about Josh Allen, is if he's as good as he was, then he should have, I mean, you should have did better in the Mountain West, right? I mean, ooh, you got big, bad Fresno State out there. Ooh, wow. All right. But nonetheless, as far as this season, I'm not really sure what to expect from the Ravens. I mean, if they miss out on the playoffs, Flacco's done. Okay? It'd be a mistake to fire Harbaugh if they missed the playoffs, just given that he drafted Lamar Jackson, and that would be tough for the next coach. Let's say the next coach you bring in doesn't like Jackson, then that's a wasted first-round pick. All right. Well, it's going to be real interesting to see what ends up happening this season with Baltimore. I mean, Baltimore hasn't been, like, terribly bad the last couple of years or anything. They've been 8-8, so a little bit average. But nonetheless, I mean, that's not good enough for Baltimore. They are a team who do want to make the playoffs year after year, and I do understand why. All right. So as far as Lamar Jackson lining up at other positions, there's no way he's going to be catching passes during the regular season. There's no way. All right, so we're going to wrap it up here. Next up, we're going to be talking about anything else going on in the world of football. So stay tuned, and I will be right back.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the extreme cage fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen.
It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to. The Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
And welcome back to the GSMC Football Podcast. So far today, we've talked about Andrew Luck, Josh Gordon, saying that the Browns have the best wide receiver corps in the league. And we talked about the Ravens featuring Lamar Jackson at some different positions and different formations. All right. Don't look into that Lamar Jackson one too much or anything like that. There's no way that if they think of Lamar Jackson as far as being their franchise quarterback for the future, that they're going to have him running routes and all that. There's absolutely no way whatsoever. Okay? Unless they're just dumb. That's it. All right. Nonetheless, we talked about that. Now we're going to talk about anything else going on in the world of football. So the Los Angeles Rams are ordered to pay Reggie Bush $12.5 million for an injury he sustained when he was with the 49ers, I believe it was. Let's see. I think it was with the 49ers. He was taking a... Yeah, well, he's taking a punt back. All right, ran out of bounds. They had some concrete. He slips, torn a lateral meniscus, ended his season. And now he gets paid. Okay. And I don't know why the Rams are still trying to fight it. I mean, that's their fault. Why are you going to have concrete there? All right. I mean, I guess it's good that they left St. Louis. Now they're not playing in that dome. But, I mean, come on now. Okay. Josh McCown's also been injured there. All right. And Reggie Bush, man, what a player he was, right? Not in the NFL, but more so in college with USC. Definitely one of the more exciting college football players of all time, if not the most exciting. I mean, I remember being a little kid. USC is like the first. Reggie Bush USC team with Matt Leinart is probably like the first memory I ever had of watching college football. All right, and what a memory it was to start. I mean, just seeing Reggie Bush get the ball and pretty much run like you're playing backyard football. Okay, just give Reggie the ball, get out his way, let him do whatever he wants. All right, and I thought, man, when this guy goes to the NFL, he's going to be one of the best. And it turns out, yeah, that doesn't really work in the NFL. But nonetheless, I mean, Reggie Bush, he didn't have like a bad NFL career, I wouldn't say. Okay, I mean, he wasn't probably what everyone expected him to be. He's kind of like... Christian McCaffrey's kind of like Reggie Bush, I'd say. Yeah, he's exactly like Reggie Bush. All right? Except Reggie Bush was better, way better in college. But McCaffrey, I don't know. I don't know if I want to say way better. All right? Just given the fact that McCaffrey was great over there with Stanford. Pretty much their entire offense. All right? But nonetheless, I mean... Yeah, Reggie, I'm not sure if it's not... Like, can we say that he never lived up to expectations? Or were the expectations just way too high given his play style? All right? I mean, he's a Super Bowl champ. Had a couple thousand-yard seasons. I think the last team he played for was Buffalo, 2016. I mean, 12 carries, minus 3 yards, that's not great. Played 11 years, so I could say he had a successful NFL career. Obviously not what everyone expected it to be, but nonetheless, you play 10-plus years in the NFL, that's successful. I don't care what anyone says. People don't realize that, too. People always look at the stats and not realize that it's difficult to stay in the NFL for a while. I mean, that's why they call it not for long. You last more than 10 years, you obviously did something right there. All right? Even if you were going team to team. But nonetheless, yeah, Reggie Bush is going to be getting cashed out, getting 12.5 mil from the Rams. They're going to try and do a retrial, but I don't know. It's pointless. There's no way you win it. I mean, the concrete was there. We saw that's their fault. They're liable for it. Is that the right word? I don't know. All right, but nonetheless, that's going on. Let's see what else is going on. You got Antonio Brown. He doesn't like the media. They put too much pressure on him. All right. Brown's got to suck it up here, right? I mean, what do you expect the media to do? You're one of the... I don't... Like, the players want it both ways. They want to be regarded as the best and just have the media off their backs. I don't understand it. You knew what you signed up for, okay? You want to do the whole business is booming type of stuff, all right? Drive around the Rolls Royce and all that and do that. Be the best receiver in the league, but you don't want the media to be around? It doesn't work that way. If you stunk, yeah, media wouldn't talk to you, okay? But nonetheless, he says that the media puts too much pressure and that requires him to put a lot of pressure on himself. He says they're always talking about him and stuff. Yeah, you're the best player in the NFL. I don't know. Dumbest thing I've seen all day from anyone. All right, Antonio Brown's comments. Like, you can't have it both ways. If you don't like it, retire. Okay? And if you're not going to retire, then get over it. I'm always backing up the players and stuff, but like this is different. Okay? Because it makes no sense whatsoever. Well, I guess it does, but it makes sense, but you can never have it that way. It's just the media won't do their job. You don't want the media to be around you all the time. Go play for the Cincinnati Bengals. No one ever talks about the Bengals, right? When has anyone ever talked about the Bengals? Okay? You don't want the media around, then don't play for a team who's won 6 Super Bowls. Don't play for a team who is historically great. Don't play for a team who is a Super Bowl contender for this season. It's that easy. Wow, I just fixed all your media problems there. All right, go play over in Tampa Bay where they don't care. Go play over in Cincinnati where the media doesn't care. Okay? I mean, it's not that hard. If you don't like it, go to a small media market. All right? I mean, I don't get these NFL players sometimes. Try to defend them, but sometimes they just say a lot of dumb stuff. All right? But there's that going on. And then you got David Johnson. He started his holdout. I think I mentioned yesterday that he could be a guy who could hold out, start his holdout today. I think I might. Hey, I predicted Kirk Cousins going to the Vikings too. I think I might be an NFL insider now. Or maybe I know how to put 2 and 2 together better than most. I don't know. But nonetheless, yeah, David Johnson skipping out on mandatory minicamp. Cardinals got to pay him, and there's no other way around it, okay? They do. You can't just go and... Like, he's on the last year of his deal. He's set to make a mil. One of the best running backs in the league. You got to pay him. If I'm David Johnson, I'm doing what I said Odell Beckham Jr. should do. If you're not going to pay me what I want, I'm not going to play this season. All right? Because, I mean, yeah, you've been missing out on $1 million, but you're an NFL player. I'm sure you got some money saved up or whatnot. Well, I'm sure he's got endorsements and all that. So, I mean, it's in the Cardinals' best interest to pay him, too. Especially given that you got Sam Bradford. Yeah, there's no way that the Cardinals don't pay him before week one. Okay? Absolutely zero way. I mean, if you're the Cardinals, think about it, okay? Let's say David Johnson goes into the GM's office, tells him, "Yeah, I'm not going to pay until you play until you pay me." Okay. If you're the Cardinals GM, you think, okay, well, what would that look like? We would be without one of the best running backs in the league, probably a top two running back in the league. Okay, that's not great. We get Sam Bradford on our team where he's not good enough to lead our team to wins. That's not great. Also very injury prone. Let's say Bradford gets hurt. Oh, we got to throw Josh Rosen out there, our rookie quarterback. We don't really want him throwing the ball a whole bunch since our star running back's not on the field. All right, given that, let's say that Rosen isn't ready for that, needs to develop some more. He loses confidence. That's not great either. Okay? Also, we don't have David Johnson out there. That takes a whole other dimension out of our offense. Now we're just going to be playing against six DBs the entire time because they don't need to stack the box. You get what I'm saying here? You get why I say it's in the Cardinals' best interest to pay the guy? Why wouldn't you? Honestly. It would make no sense. All right? But nonetheless, there's that. Like I said, Aaron Donald's holding out. Julio Jones, I mean, Julio has no leverage, so he's not going to get paid this season. All right, there's no way he's sitting out this season. And by the time he's 32, by the time his contract is up, he's going to be 32. All right? I mean, I think the Falcons are in a real good spot right here. All right. But nonetheless, going back to David Johnson, like I said, he's going to get paid. There's no doubt about that. If they don't, then the Cardinals are the dumbest organization in the history of sports. All right. But like I said, we're going to wrap it up here. Let's see. Today we talked about Andrew Luck. He's throwing a football again. John Irsay says, is it Jim Irsay? I think it's Jim Irsay, yeah. Jim Irsay says that he's going to be at training camp with no limitations. And I don't like how Jim Irsay speaks for the team a lot. You're not Jerry Jones, bro. Sit down. All right. Andrew Luck says he'll absolutely be out there for week 1 against the Bengals. Segment 2, we talked about Josh Gordon saying that the Browns have the best wide receiver corps in the league. They do, arguably. He's not wrong. Okay. Third segment, we talked about Lamar Jackson lining up in different positions for the Ravens so far in minicamp. Yeah, don't look into that at all. Okay. There's no way they throw him out there week 1 in a package where he's running routes and all. No way, absolutely, whatsoever. And then for this segment, we talked about a bunch of different news and notes going on in the NFL. Reggie Bush getting $12.5 million by the Rams for slipping on concrete, tearing his meniscus. Talked about David Johnson holding out also. So that's it right there. Thanks for listening to the GSMC Football Podcast. As always, I am your host, Jesse Tapia. I will be back tomorrow, so stay tuned, and I will talk to you later.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.